வந்தேகம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 19th of February, 1975, in Caracas, Venezuela.
Why not? Because your concepts and the dog concepts are the same.
Well, you were saying beforehand.
The dog doesn't care whether he is the proprietor of the body or not. See, if I don't care, then what is the difference between dog and me?
The difference between dog and men is a very slight one.
Nothing. Unless one has got this transcendental knowledge, he is no better than the dog.
Dogs have knowledge.
Yes, but eating, sleeping, and sex life, and defense, everyone has got knowledge. Dog has knowledge, you have got knowledge. But what is the distinction between you and dog? In your life, you can realize the transcendence, the dog cannot. That makes you distinct from.
How can you be so sure of that? Have you ever been in a dog's mind? How can
there is no need. There is no need.
Perfect, as you have already said.
There is no need because dog is busy bodily requisition, and if you are simply busy for your dog bodily requisition, then what is the difference between you and dog? We
Why
have to take the principle.
Difference so important for you?
Fundamentally, what is the difference? The dog is whole day busy to find out his food. And if you are also busy to find out your food, then where is the difference?
He said, because he says, I'm not this body, therefore it doesn't matter if I'm the owner of this body or not.
As soon as you decide that you are not this body, you are transcendental to this body, then you have to understand what is the transcendental nature and what is your business, what you should do. These things will come. At the present moment, because I identify me with this body, I am simply busy with this bodily concept of life. So as soon as you understand that it is I am not this body, that is called Brahma Bhuta state. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahma. That is the beginning of real knowledge.
Not because there is a difference.
Then even if you care, if you care, who cares for you? It will go by nature's way.
Right.
That we say. Now, I have got this now nice body. Nature may offer something, not very desirable body. Then what do you do?
He said it doesn't matter to him if he gets this body or that body, even a frog's body, because he will go on being himself.
That's all right. It doesn't matter to him. But there are persons, he'll shudder if he said that next body you are going to become a dog.
That was in the first opinion. Where does the beginning of evolution, is that what he's saying? Where does evolution begin?
The principle of evolution, where he goes, the principle of evolution, if the next body we are going to take is going to be a body who is considered inferior by our nature, a dog body. Suppose the man is advancing, so how does that go?
How can it be that we're advancing if we can become a dog in the next life or something inferior? Where's the question of progress?
By nature's way, there is evolution. From dog to fox, fox to this, that is, there is a law. But, again one can fall down. In this way, one comes to the human form of body. That is the chance of self-realization. But if this is in the human form of life, he does not behave like a human being. He behaves like cats and dogs, then he gets again.
Okay.
So if by his work he gets degradation to get a body like a dog, then again it will take millions of years to come to the human form of life. Therefore, intelligent man should be very careful. He should not say, I don't care. That is very risky life.
He's saying that he thinks that not everyone is looking for God, that people should be asked whether they want to be something different than what they are. And he thinks we need something practical, not simply something of faith. Yeah.
That's what I say. Every practical things are there in the Bhagavad Gita. You ask any question and the solution is there.
They say the same thing of the Bible.
Yes. You follow Bible, that is also nice. But you do not follow, that is the deal.
He's saying that in this world we're also limited, we're like prisoners, and the more laws that we submit to, the more we become slaves.
No more law. You simply follow the law given in the Bible, as you are speaking of Bible. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Why you are violating? If you don't follow, then you are not spiritualist, you are fool. You remain again in this ignorance.
He said, in other words, is all humanity a fool then?
Yes.
See?
Otherwise, why there is Bible?
Why is there
Bible? Why is there Bible?
He said that, basically what he's saying that is, it's impossible for, to follow, that you said we have to approach a perfect person, but that means we have to accept so many restrictions, and this is actually impossible, it cannot be done.
Then it is impossible for you to become a perfect man.
Why should the knowledge be so limited?
No, it is not limited. It is unlimited. But to come to the unlimited, you have to cut down your limited knowledge.
You have to
cut down.
He said, he noticed that there are only men here. Does that mean the women cannot become transcendental?
Why not? There are so many women. Knowledge is not restricted to men. It is open for everyone. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Mang hipartha vipasritya jiti supapajone sriya vaishya satha sudra stevi jandhi parani. Everyone is open. That's why university. University is not restricted to a certain class. It is open for everyone. Everyone can go, take the knowledge. Similarly, prison house is open for everyone. Now you make your choice whether go to university or prison house.
How can one cut his limited knowledge, cut down his limited knowledge, if he's habituated to material life?
Well, habit can be changed. It's like nobody's habituated smoking from the very beginning of his life. But by association, he learns smoking. And again, by association, he can give it up. But these boys, American, European boys, they are habituated so many bad things. Now they have given them.
How can we know what is good and what is bad? How can we define it?
When you come to the good, you will understand what is good. When you come to the bad, you understand what is bad.
He does not understand.
Suppose, now, there are a class of thieves and class of honest men. So if you associate with the thieves, you learn how to steal. But you understand also that people hate us. The thieves, the thief class, they know that people hate. The police arrest, the police put them, they also know that. But because they are habituated, they cannot give it up.
He's saying stealing is relative. Some people steal because they watch television. Some people steal because they're hungry or they need things.
Well, in the eyes of the law, when you go to the court, if somebody has stolen some diamond and if somebody has stolen some insignificant thing, in the court, the 6 month prison is there. The man who has stolen an insignificant thing, the judge does not make any concession for him. You have stolen, you must go. And the man who has stolen the diamond, he also takes the same time. So, stealing is stealing. Either you steal diamond or a little fruit. It doesn't matter. The punishment is the same for the diamond stealer and anything insignificant.
he still doesn't understand how he can say that one activity is bad or good. For example, he said that we gave the example of thieves, but that implies that previously there was already a standard that this is good and this is bad. So he wants to know how you can know definitely what is good and what is bad.
To become God conscious is good, and anything else all bad. God is good, therefore if you are God conscious, you are good. And if you are not God conscious, then you are bad.
If God created man.
Yes.
See?
God created everything. God created man, God created dog, God created demigod, God created everything.
He made us imperfect.
No, he's not imperfect.
No, God made us imperfect.
Yeah, God made us imperfect.
No. You have got that just like you have stolen and you have gone to the prison house. That means judge is not imperfect, you are imperfect.
If God has not created us imperfect.
No. God has created perfect. But you have become imperfect by misusing your independence. God is fully independent. You are part and parcel of God. Therefore, you have got that quality, independence. When you misuse that, you become bad. When you use it properly, you remain good.
Yeah, how do we make ourselves bad?
Therefore the Bible is there. You become good like this. If you don't do, then you become bad. the Bible says that thou shalt not kill. If you don't kill, then you are good. If you kill, you are bad.
He said there's no guarantee of perfect knowledge because at one time we had perfect knowledge, but he said we threw it away. So therefore
no, you misuse the perfect knowledge. That's like the here's perfect knowledge. Bible says thou shalt not kill. You are misusing. You are killing. That is your fault.
He wants to know if we are born good and then we learn the bad thing.
No. So long we have got this material body, you are born good or bad. But when you do not get this material body, you remain in your spiritual body. That is good.
He said, so no one can be born bad, but by contact with humanity he becomes bad.
Then make the humanity good. Then make the humanity good.
He says that if he sees that he is not harming anyone, then he is always right, if he is not harming anyone.
That he thinks, but the authority thinks otherwise. Huh?
Yes, he doesn't know.
Then that is his mistake. Just like a man does not know what is law, but there is no excuse.
He says that he can accept that man is born perfect, but that his development is imperfect, but he cannot accept that man is born imperfect.
No, that we don't say. Therefore, man is advised to associate with perfect, so that he can keep his perfectness.
The problem is, there are so many millions of people, but there are so few perfect persons.
And one perfect person is sufficient to teach thousands of imperfect persons.
He says he thinks you are right because the example is Buddha and Christ and so many people have followed them.
They are perfect. But the followers do not follow the instruction. That does not mean they are imperfect.
He says that it is not enough contact with a perfect being because as you said, so many people come into contact with but change teachings. Therefore, it's necessary also to realize the knowledge that
therefore, you have to keep the original teaching in perfect order. Without any interpretation.
Oh, he thanks you very much for explaining these things.
Huh?
He thanks you for explaining so many things.
Our request is to study this Krishna consciousness movement and try to help it.
You give the example that one has to give up certain habits, such as one should not smoke and things. So. But is it true that is not the ultimate goal of transcendence?
No, that is a process.
Can someone outside who does not follow these practices, can he achieve perfection?
Maybe, but that is exception.
Quizás, pero ese es excepcional. He said that Buddha found or achieved perfection outside of joining any particular religion, And then after reading so many things and hearing all different philosophies, that it was actually the practice which you thought was the most important thing.
Changed himself, really.
What?
He changed himself, really.
He
changed himself, willingly.
Oh. He says that in some story that when Buddha was about to leave his body, he said that, anyway, the conclusion of the story is that he also considered himself imperfect.
Yes, that is the greatness of Buddha. Because his followers are imperfect, he could not say more than what they could understand. Therefore he said that I am good. His mission was to stop animal killing. But people are very much accustomed to animal killing. So he did not say higher things. They could not understand. For them, if they could stop animal killing, that was perfect. For a primary student, if he understands the mathematics, 2 plus 2 equals to 4, that is his perfection. That does not mean there is no higher mathematics. Otherwise one cannot understand spiritual matter.
He said that's another one of my problems.
It is not problem, it is practice. If you come here daily, within a week you will learn. We can give you hundreds of preparation, vegetarian.
They asked if we're eating anything, so I said we eat before and after all. They asked if we eat anything, why we're not eating.
I said eat also. So I request you to come every Sunday and take feast with us.
He wants to know, for example, if I eat meat today, if I lose my chance for enlightenment. If I lose my chance for enlightenment.
No, you do not lose. You hear from the enlightened, then you'll be enlightened and he'll automatically give up meditating. Therefore, our business is to hear from the enlightened. That is the first business. Other things not immediately needed. Even if you cannot give up meditating, still, he heard from the enlightened.
He asked me how much time I've been in
this movement.
He asked me how much time I have in this movement.
How much time?
He asked me how much time.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to know if we make the yogurt ourselves. He said we must be specialists. He said we should put it in bottles and make Hare Krishna yogurt.
That is also good. Because they'll chant Hare Krishna. And that will have effect. Hare Krishna is transcendental vibration. So anyone who will vibrate this sound, he'll get the benefit.
You want to know who gives us our mantra? If the spiritual master gives us our mantra.
Yeah. Now we can chant without singing. There is no loss. We can chant Hare Krishna and see the effect.
He said he has seen us in New York and London. And one thing he has noticed is wherever he sees us, our faces are very satisfied.
You are intelligent.
that even though it's outside, it shows that there's something special inside.
No, this inquiry was made by one priest. I was going from Los Angeles to Hawaii. The priest was in his ordinary dress. He came to me. He said, Swamiji, can I talk with you? Yes. He first of all said, how your disciples look so nice and full of spiritual consciousness. That was his first question. Now everything has got process. If we adopt the process, the result is.
How do we finance our movement?
By Krishna's grace. Krishna sends us money. We are spending about $100,000 per month. Krishna is providing. 1 million. We are getting, especially by selling these books. Our book selling is increasing. We are selling 50,000 copies at the present moment of all these books.
Every month.
In America, all the universities, professors, learned scholars, they are giving us standing order. As soon as published, please send it. Please.
Where in the world we find that people most understand us and join us?
America.
America.
North America.
North
now
America.
We have come to South America.
And in Europe, if we are open to every any suggestion.
Okay. In Europe?
Hare Krishna. I saw the Hare Krishna movement on British television. And they had an interview with the head of the Hare Krishna movement. And they sang, they danced, and many other things. Some people are very receptive to the message.
All over the world, in Africa also.
But here in Venezuela, I find that Venezuelans, or at least the government, has been a little bit too intolerant with your people here.
Government is not tolerant?
It has been a little bit too intolerant. In the past, they were a little bit pushy. But now they've stopped.
Now, if anyone reads our books, then he'll accept it. Therefore, we are trying to publish all our books in different languages.
How is our movement doing in India?
India, it is already there. Every person is Krishna conscious.
Everyone in India is asking.
Is
asking everyone.
Yes,
in India.
Everyone by nature they are Krishna conscious, but the modern leaders they are trying to divert their attention. The leaders are trying to make them Krishna unconscious because there are opinion that being Krishna conscious, India is so backward. So we have to become American conscious or European conscious. Yep. That is there.
It was a great pleasure that you invited us to.
Thank you. So you are welcome whenever you have got time. Hare Krishna.